I'm Jack Inslee reporting for HeritageRadioNetwork.org. We're checking in with our food community to see how everybody's holding up in the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy. So I'm here with Shane Welsh from Six Point Craft Ales, who is joined by his dad, Joe Welsh. Guys, thanks for taking some time out to talk to us here.
It's great to be here.
Thanks. Thank you. How did Six Point hold up? You guys are in Red Hook. What was the situation like during and right after the storm?
Well, as you know, Red Hook was one of the hardest hit neighborhoods, and we were not spared by any means, but at the same time, relative to some of the other folks in the neighborhood, we didn't get annihilated, we didn't get devastated. But that being said, it's been a week and a half since the waters have receded and the hurricane's gone away, and we still are not operational. So getting the utilities back up, getting the gas and electric was one thing, but then getting all the actual mechanicals going is another thing. And then, of course, whenever you have that much water coming in and encroaching upon a production facility, you have to consider what it does to the structure and the sanitation and everything like that. So we had to completely get everything out of there, sanitize everything, wash it down, bleach it, and get everything completely back to the way that it should be. So it's a huge undertaking, and it's expensive, and it's time-consuming, and all those things.
I was going to ask, what kind of hit is that to the company?
Well, you know, I haven't done the full accounting analysis on it yet, because I've mostly just, as I started to do it, I just cracked open a beer, and I don't want to think about it right now. But rest is, you know, it's not positive in that sense. It's something that it's definitely a draw, but here's how I viewed it. We had been anticipating something like this, maybe because we're cynical or morbid people, but we have always had a rainy day fund or situation, in the sense that if something like this came along, we never wanted it to completely wipe us out. Most people don't know how hard we had to work to get to where we are right now, so it would be silly to let something like this completely wipe us off the map. So we're going to survive, without a doubt. But it's not, I mean, our customers are the ones who are feeling it the most, not us. Mm. Like, there's people, Roberta's, for example, like where we are right now, we built this relationship up with them, and we make them this custom brew called Get Safe. The irony is the last beer that was ever poured out of the Six Point kegerator was the Get Safe, and it was poured right as the water was coming in through the door.
Whoa.
Yeah. You can't make this stuff up.
Wow.
But so they're without their custom brew right now.
Well, that's unfortunate, and I feel like a lot of the smaller businesses should kind of take your example there in terms of putting something away in the case of a situation like this. Right now, so you're here with your dad, and how is he involved? He's a carpenter, I believe, right?
That's correct.
And what's your involvement, Joe, right now in trying to help Six Point get back up and running?
Well, fortunately, during the event, I was back home. I got to follow it. For the most part, I got my information from my son direct. We were chatting on computer, Google. And it was really play-by-play. But, you know, originally always concerned for the safety of your loved ones. The brewery would be secondary and all that type of thing. But I was well aware of the danger at hand, and I think it was well announced. I had planned a trip which was going to occur the week of the storm, and that was canceled before, a couple days before. You kind of knew the event was coming. Mm-hmm. That was canceled. Then we had to watch how things played out, and I am currently, obviously, in New York right now. That's why I'm on radio with you. And my role now was to give him an in-house look and viewpoint of what the damage was, you know, and what areas I felt, based on my background, you know, what needs to be addressed, what should, you know, and where to throw all of our resources at to quickly alleviate all conditions. You know, you got water, you got mold, you got so we want to really corral all of those items and then get back up and running as fast as possible. So I guess my role would be more consulting, just another viewpoint. I'm not the only consultant, I'm just very convenient, you know, being in family. And the added benefit is I get to come out and visit my son.
So. Yeah, well, some silver lining.
I want to add one more thing, too, please. About how we managed to escape relatively unscathed. Mm. If you go on Google Maps and you just type in Six Point Brewery, you'll see visually that we're about 1 to 1.5 blocks from the actual ocean. So you would think that we would be basically underwater because we're really no different than all the people on the piers who got hit really hard. But what happened was the week prior to the storm, if you were following some of the meteorological developments, people were saying this is serious, it's not a joke. We know Irene was kind of a false alarm, but this storm has a 600-mile radius, and it's going to hit New York the night that is high tide in the lunar cycle. And it's a confluence of events that is going to make everything really bad. So I sent out an alert to the team. The high tide of the surge hit at about 9 o'clock p.m. on Monday, the 29th. On October 26th, I sent out an alert to my team, and I was out of the city at the time. But I said, look, watch this, read this link, and take immediate precaution. Move everything to higher ground. Move all the electrical equipment, all the records and the files and the computers. Get everything out of the brewery and move it off-site. And so what happened was on Friday and Saturday, our team basically put the Six Point Brewery on lockdown. They moved everything out of there as best they could. Mm. So really, we had taken a lot of precautions. If we hadn't done that, we would be in deep trouble. We would have lost a lot of files and inventories, kegs, grain, finished beer, whatever it might have been. And that being said, if this does happen again, or if we see anything developing, we're going to even go an extra mile and basically wrap the whole building in plastic, not even take any precautions at all. Well, or we're going to assume the worst every time moving forward.
It's really good to hear that you guys didn't take it too bad. And if listeners want to get involved and help in any way outside of just buying Six Point, is there anything that they can do?
Well, we advocate this thing called the Red Hook Initiative, yeah, which has been in place well before the storm. I think it actually goes back over 10 years. But it has nothing really to... It's not like a first aid or a Red Cross type effort. What it focuses on is rebuilding communities. And a lot of people agree, if you look at all the different grassroots and movements across the country, there's these initiatives in other cities because... This is just my personal opinion, but if government or businesses aren't going to step in to help rebuild communities, then the people are going to have to do it themselves. So that's what the Red Hook Initiative was. I mean, for those of you listening out there, Red Hook is a neighborhood that was basically amputated from New York City. They put this freeway through it that kind of cut it off from the rest of everyone else. There's no real mass transit going out there except for one bus line now. And it's so close, you can get to Manhattan, you can get to Wall Street by the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel or the Cary Tunnel. But the neighborhood was just essentially left to rot. And what people are really asking themselves now is that when a disaster strikes New York City, it's kind of interesting to see which neighborhoods get the immediate attention. Sure. Where do the ambulances go first? Where does Con Edison go first? Where does Keyspan go first? And there's still folks without power. There's still folks without power in the Rockaways and Broad Channel in different areas of the outer boroughs. So when people are aware of that and they're not delusional, they don't think that they're going to get immediate help, what they do is they create these community first response teams. So even though New York hasn't sent out the city government hasn't sent out a huge army of people to help Red Hook. What Red Hook has done as a community is basically perform that service themselves. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Wow.
So it's interesting. I think it's great because they're not relying on the local government to do it. They're sort of taking matters into their own hands. That being said, FEMA has been there all week. So they've been handing out different things and assistance, and the SBA has been there too.
I know a lot of people have just been saying that this is an opportunity to get Red Hook on the map and get more people thinking about Red Hook and realizing Red Hook is there. So hopefully more people become aware. And we're actually co-hosting a fundraiser with the guys from Snacky Tunes on November 14th, and all the proceeds will go to the Red Hook Initiative. So definitely encourage listeners to check out the Red Hook Initiative if you want to help. And guys, thanks for coming and talking for a few minutes.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, take care. Follow us on Twitter at @Heritage_Radio and on Facebook at Heritage Radio Network for more up-to-date news and information. We will be bringing you guys the stories as they come to us. Again, this has been Jack Inslee for HeritageRadioNetwork.org. More later.